And welcome back. Hopefully you had a fantastic break there. Darren, welcome back.
Welcome back, Jerry.
Excellent. This is Microsoft Virtual Academy, exam 70484. This is Essential Store Development, Essentials for Developing Store Apps with C# and XAML. Refit, reworked, and redone for Windows 8.1. Module
5.
Five. Wow, we're really killing it today.
Platform part two.
Platform part two. Let me do a little bit of housekeeping real quick. A little bit of the chat line. The chat line sounds like a radio show was, anyway, asking a couple questions. First of all, where's the source code going to be for all this? We're going to take all of it, wrap it all together, put a bow on it, and put it at xaml.codeplex.com. It's not there right now, at least in the live version of this. If you are watching the recording, it's probably already there.
Yeah.
XAML.codeplex.com, spelled XAML. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to spell XAML and you're watching the show, trouble ensues. Another question was, of the stuff that we're showing, how much of it has to do with WPF, Windows Presentation Foundation? There are Windows 8 specific controls we're showing, mm-hmm. like the grid view and the list view. Aside from that, though?
I would say that WPF represents a superset of much of the XAML.
Yeah.
You know, that there are more things that you can do within the context of WPF than we're demonstrating right now within the App Store variant of XAML.
Yeah.
And generally, one of the hardest things I think right now is when you're actually searching for guidance on XAML out on the interwebs.
Yes.
Is there are so many different versions of XAML that often you will find guidance that could be for WPF that talks about binding syntax that doesn't exist yet within the context of App Store, or you might be finding Silverlight variants and so on and so forth. It can be a little bit confusing out there, to be honest, yeah. in terms of finding those things. So, I mean, I would think about the XAML we're showing, the foundation is the same across all of the platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, the core syntax and so on, as you mentioned, there's specific controls that are unique to the App Store environment, as there are for WPF and as there are for Silverlight. But the core foundation is the same. Things like live tiles, you don't have those in WPF.
Yeah, yeah. Things like share contracts in Windows 8, you don't have those either. Those are desktop applications that don't have access to these. Okay, perfect, thanks.
Great.
There were a few questions around COM interop. I don't know if everybody knows that WinRT, that's the Windows runtime on which all of this is actually executing, is COM. You know, COM certainly hasn't gone anywhere. That's still mm-hmm. a fundamental way of interacting with core elements. And then there is the idea of whether or not you can call the Win32 APIs from WinRT.net,
mm-hmm.
and you certainly can. You can p-invoke. That has implications on whether or not it'll run on an ARM device, because those often are Intel-only calls. There we go.
Absolutely.
Just wanted to make sure we kind of get through some of the high-level questions that might be there. Perfect. Let's talk about push notifications. Did we ever decide what we're doing with push notifications? You or me?
I think it's going to be me.
Okay, great. Let's talk about what push notifications are, first of all. Okay, so let's talk about push notifications. Great, got it. a push notification is the ability to talk to a device from the internet. That's the gist. So mm-hmm. we can easily run an application on the client and then reach out to the internet. No sweat, don't need push notifications for that. What about reaching out from the internet to the device? That's going to require push notifications. Well, there's a service that does this for us. It's provided by Microsoft, and it's free to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Windows Notification Service, WNS. The Windows Notification Service does all the routing, finds the devices, and everything like that. And the basic concept is this. Your application first has to run on the client, because once it runs on the client, it establishes a channel back to the client, basically giving approval for Windows Notification Services to talk to it. Well, once it has that channel and the token that represents that channel, it can hand that token off to the web service, and from that point forward, the web service can then talk through Windows Notification Services back to that device. So it's a couple of steps. It's not trivial, but at the same time, there's enough wizards out there now that get this done sort of for you.
Yeah, and so you know we're leveraging the Azure platform to help us out with that.
Yep.
So you need to have an Azure subscription set up.
Yes.
Need an account configured and so on and so forth.
So this is the demo we're about to show leverages Azure. Push mm-hmm. notifications doesn't What were you saying?
So at its foundation, push notification services is implemented using the HTTP protocol.
Why would you use push notification? Why do you even need to talk from your site to a device?
Because there are scenarios where you may have been offline and significant activity has occurred within your application or perhaps a domain of information that you've subscribed and demonstrated you have interest in. It's like, for example, you're running a new, you have a news application installed. Breaking news occurred. You may wish to receive notifications when breaking news occurs.
Right.
You have a web service or a web application that's out there aggregating a lot of this content for you. Should a breaking news occur, the only way that you can bring to the attention of a user that isn't currently running an application is via a push notification.
Right. Now, what if my application just isn't running? You know, my application was shut down an hour ago. The user now wants to get alerts of some kind with push notification of new news. What are the options still?
So you have the ability to run background services and actually push notifications from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have that. We kind of just mentioned push notifications as a primary means for doing that.
Yep. So if my application is not running and I receive a push notification, it can show up as a toast, right? Some sort of transient notification that lets me know that it happened.
We can update the badge count elements on.
My live tile can be refreshed, badge or some of the notifications that come up, that's right.
Yep.
And if my app is running, that toast notification could cause my app to run. Mm-hmm. But if my app is running, it can actually receive what we refer to as raw push notifications so that you can have more of a dialogue with the server as well. So if you have something like maybe a game where you're pushing location information of where the opponents are.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, really.
It is. A lot of options.
Now, it sounds like a lot of moving parts. Honestly, it kind of is. But let's see if we can do a demo.
Let's see if we can. So, one of the key things, and you kind of mentioned the wizard, is we have the ability to use a wizard-based approach to adding this to an application. So, here I've created just a straightforward Windows Store application from the blank template.
Totally blank. Nothing.
Totally blank.
Anybody could do it so far.
Yeah, nothing unique about this whatsoever. In fact, you can
just
see.
Just to prove it?
There is the blank UI.
Okay, got it.
If I right-click on the project, I have the ability to specify add. If I select Add, we have this new option. It seems kind of strange that it's just floating around in the bottom here, to be honest.
It's an interesting place to put
it. It's just kind of, looks like kind of a bolt-on, but you know, if you want to shout and scream that this is available, I guess this is a place that you do it.
Might as well put it where developers go constantly.
Exactly. So if I select Push Notification, up pops a wizard. Now this basically tells me that it's going to do all manner of magic for me.
Okay.
Let's click Next.
You really read that through. So this says it's really neat.
Yeah. First things we've got to do is we've got to sign into the Windows Store, because what we need to have is the ability to publish an application.
And when we send it to Windows Store and create an application, we are actually creating a reference associating this app with a store app that may or may not be published. It doesn't have to be. It's just a reserved placeholder that has a special token. That's really what you're getting back.
Text or call?
Call for sure.
Okay. So now what we're doing is using the verification service, which is going to send a message to Jerry's phone.
This is exciting. So this is a two-part verification to make sure nobody's hacking your account.
Yep.
No big deal. All right, let's see what she says.
Thank you for using our phone verification system.
She said thank you.
Six.
One.
Seven. Nine.
Niner.
Once again,
your code. Good job. Good job. Well, that means we're really us. We're a real demo account.
Absolutely. So let's call this one Jumpstart Demo.
Yeah, I do a lot of hackathons and codeathons and things like that with developers. It always throws them off that they've got to receive a text message or a call. But it's just meant really for their security, and how else are we going to verify it's them without doing some sort of second verification?
Absolutely. Yeah. So now what we've done is we've just reserved a name in the App Store. So nobody ever out there will now be able to use Jumpstart Demo 1 as an application.
Well, you've kind of ruined the store for some people.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, people, but there we go. So now having made that reservation, I'm going to move on to the next step. Now what I need to do here is I'm going to select a service that is available for me to leverage for our push notification capability.
Specifically, what we're talking about is a Windows Azure mobile service. That's what we're talking about. There's so many things that Azure can do. But when it comes to tooling and services for developers, the WAMS, Windows Azure Mobile Services, or the mobile services, is certainly one of the most useful and valuable when it comes to easily interacting with data, but in this case, easily doing push notifications.
Exactly. So what we've done earlier is we've exported out the published settings from our Azure account to so that we have a list of available services we can leverage within this wizard.
You exported them, by the way, by the link that's right there.
Yes.
Yeah, go get it. It causes them to download, and you're ready to go. It does all the work for you. I do want to say, while you're doing this, that creating a store account is not free. It does cost $19 to create a store account unless you're an MSDN subscriber or a DreamSpark subscriber or a BizSpark subscriber. All of those people get free store accounts for sure. And you can use Azure. So there are two different types of accounts. One is for the store account. One is for Azure. Azure creating mobile services like this, including a small database, all free. You can have 10 different instances of Windows Azure mobile services, and it doesn't cost you a penny.
Yep. So what we've done now is we've imported a list, and here is a service that's available for us to use for our push notifications.
Okay.
So I'm going to select that and hit Next. Now, basically, this is going to tell us what it's going to do in terms of adding in references to the Azure Mobile Services SDK. We're going to create any necessary code within our application to implement the push notifications. We're also going to update the Azure service with our secret IDs and package IDs related to this application, which has been pulled in from the App Store.
Right.
And also, it's going to set up a sample script to allow us to send a toast notification.
You know what's great is all this is done for you by the wizard. This would be a lot of work doing it for you.
I actually did this mandrolically the other day, kind of going through it. And
what was the word again?
Mandrolic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like hydraulic with man on it.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah. It's clever.
It is a lot of work, and it's easy to get it wrong is the issue as well. And so it's nice that this is here just to help out. It's made a lot of changes to your project.
Yep. And so it's kind of run through things. You know, what is initially disconcerting if you're running in a C# environment and you just created a project, all of a sudden you get presented with a bunch of JavaScript and you're like, where on earth has that come from?
Yeah.
And the reality is, what we've had is the Server Explorer has been opened up. Let me just pin that. And what we now have in the server is a connection out to mobile services, the particular service that we're leveraging for this interaction.
Nice.
If I expand out that service, we see we have a table here. Now, so this is a table that's out on our media services subscription for channels.
Okay.
And this registers channels for each of our clients that happens to be out there. If I expand this node out, we actually see we have four JavaScript elements out there.
Now, let me back up just a second and make sure everybody's watching understands. That table exists in Azure SQL Services. So this is a SQL Server in the cloud.
Yep.
Provided to by, as a part of Windows Azure Mobile Services, also free. So we haven't like snuck in a weird cost. It's a 20 megabyte database.
Mm-hmm.
Developers can use that at their pleasure.
Okay. And so right now what we have is it's effectively running Node.js behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And we have this JavaScript implementation that is effectively similar to SQL triggers.
Yeah.
That whenever an operation occurs, these things get invoked. So if we're going to do an insert, I think we decided it was prior to the insert
it's
that
like
these
a before trigger.
Execute, and this will actually allow us to push out a toast. So we have this function down here in JavaScript. Let me zoom in on that a little bit, and probably don't necessarily need this much space for here. So we have a simple piece of JavaScript that shows an example of how we would send a toast with the text zero template, which is just one line of text. Here we have a sample toast from the sample insert. This is how we basically log out our push. So this is all implemented and sitting out on the Azure side of the house. Now let's have a look and see what changes have been made to our application. So if we quickly scan across the top.
So you really are opening files here that are out there on Azure. They're not local at all.
They're not local at all.
It's pretty neat.
It's pretty neat. So if we look, we can see app.xaml.cs is starred.
Ah.
So that's where our changes have been made. That's the only place where our changes have been. So if I look down at the top here, let me zoom in again. I can get rid of Server Explorer right now. And the thing I should point out is that this is not a fully fledged implementation of how you would do push notifications. This is showing you how you can hook up your basic channels and how you can put things in there. You're definitely going to want to make some changes here. But again, within the time constraints we have, we really can't walk through the full scenario here. So what we have is a reference, a static reference to the mobile service client. You may recall in the wizard, it says it's adding a reference to the mobile SDK. So here we have Windows Azure mobile SDK and extensions for that. The mobile service client implements a lot of this basic protocol to communicate, HTTP services and so on and so forth. We simply create an instance of that. We're specifying the URI or the URL to our service. This is the mobile service we elected to leverage out on Azure. And we have a secret token.
All provided by the wizard, of course.
All provided by the wizard. So this is all brokered as part of that wizard to make sure A can speak to B. Once we have that in place, we then have the ability within the on-launched event to set up our channel.
Okay.
So this is where we have started our application and we're now registering that our application is going to be participatory and push notifications via this service.
And not just our application, but specifically this device our application.
And this instance, you're exactly right. And so we're going to upload a channel, which is in effect going to create a record on that table. The insert.js that I was showing you before runs whenever there's an insert on the channels table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take that payload and use that to send a notification that will arrive, bit of luck, downhill following wind, at this application.
So you're not, it doesn't really matter that you're saving something into the table. That's not the point. You're just wanting to leverage that insert statement or that insert trigger.
As an example of how we can set up and receive push notifications.
Correct. So what would be a scenario with that? You know, every time an insert is made, and I might have extra logic, and it says a new purchase has been made at your store, you might want to receive a notification to say, you need to fulfill this order request. Right? Mm-hmm. That might be one.
Yep.
Maybe a stock, every time it's inserted and the value is above something,
mm-hmm.
you could alert your stockholders that your stock has reached a certain threshold.
Absolutely. You know, this is certainly a scenario for push notifications. And we kind of discussed many others, which is external activities that are resulting in information being set for you. You might have a table that you're leveraging out there to queue up information for you.
Yeah.
And so each time something arrives in there, you know, say you want to see new articles that are being posted, say, out on Dig or whatever. You can have a pointers to all of the new articles to information you've subscribed being created in that table, getting a new alert every time something occurs. That alert could be incrementing your badge counter on your live tile.
Mm-hmm.
These are the outstanding records that you have to read and so on and so forth. A lot of interesting scenarios there. But anyway, as you can see, I've run up the application and I'm actually holding on the
So there's no button to press or anything like that.
Nope.
It just immediately ran and immediately got, look, run it again.
Yep. So bear in mind, it's going to be this line of code is going to run. So I hit it, I run, nothing happens. We hit our breakpoint, I hit continue.
Almost as fast as you could run it, it happens. That's
exactly.
All the way out to Azure, all the way through back. Windows Notification Services, back to your device.
Yep.
And Notification Services isn't talking to your app.
No.
Notification Services is talking to the operating system,
mm-hmm.
which receives the toast information and simply displays it.
Absolutely.
Now, if your app requires that toast notification in order to operate properly, then you're at a little bit of a risk here.
Mm-hmm.
Because at any time, a user could slide over and go to settings for their computer. In fact, show my screen for just a second. I'll show you. I can swipe over to the charms here and go to settings. I could go to all the ones at the top we were talking to before, but in this case, I can go right here to notifications, and when I do, it gives me the option of how long to hide them. You can't stop a user from hiding them. So if you send a toast notification to me right now, and I've hit it for the next 8 hours, I'm not going to get it. It's not going to queue up and wait for it to finally work. And even more importantly, you're not going to receive a receipt on your application to say, hey, he never got it. You might want to try again later.
Mm-hmm.
None of that happens. It's sort of a black box send, sort of like sending an email out, right?
Absolutely.
I also want to point out that inside, especially since we're talking about Windows Azure Mobile Services, you used it so that as far as database interaction was the cause of it to occur. That's a really interesting use, not a bad one at all. I do want to point out that Mobile Services also has a time system as well
mm-hmm.
to allow you to schedule, or I guess it's a scheduling system, to allow you to set a time when how frequently something will occur. And that is another script that can run that can query your database or query any other source of logic and then send a toast notification the same way or a push notification the same way. A push notification, by the way, didn't have to be toast. You could have changed it so that it sent an update to my tile. You could have sent it so it did all kinds of different things. This is just the simplest demonstration.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Speaking of tiles, let's just move on into it, because I noticed when you sent that toast notification, you picked a template. Remember, it was something like text one or something like that? And I know that's the way that live tiles work as well. So inside Windows 8.1, well, inside Windows 8.0, we had live tiles, absolutely. Now in 8.1, we've got more advanced live tiles. In the first module, we talked about the fact we have four sections, types of tiles now, four layouts. The first one is that super teeny tiny.
We have sizes, but we also have two types. We have primary tiles, which are the tiles created when you install your application. And we have secondary tiles, which allow us to do some very interesting scenarios.
Okay, so I know what a primary tile is because we were just playing with them and you can resize them. Secondary tile, what's it look like?
So it can look exactly the same as your primary tile. You have the same size options available to you, small, medium, wide, and large. As you mentioned, small and large are new in 8.1. They, you know, what's their purpose? You know, why would you create a secondary tile if you already had a primary? Well, the reason for having them is they allow you to navigate into specific content within your application. That they provide a shortcut to, say, for example, if we go back to our beaches example, and we had Beaches of the World. That was our overall application. And we had a couple of hub sections, one of which was top 10 beaches. Another one, I think, was top trips.
Yeah.
We might create a secondary tile that allows us to navigate to that directly to that list of top 10 beaches.
Yeah, sure.
So that, you know, that's
one scenario. That way you don't have to have the user go first to the main page and then navigate deep into it. Takes them straight to their favorite beach.
Yeah. Another example would be if you've got a book reading application. You know, you have multiple books in your library. You might want to create a secondary tile that links directly to the book you're currently reading.
Yeah.
And that way, quick click, and in you are on the page you're reading.
Yeah. I do that with Audible, with the books that I listen to.
Okay.
Yeah, I really do.
Sounds good.
Dork. Okay, explain the badge. Because, you know, we talk about it, and it seems like it's complicated, but it's not complicated.
It's not complicated. It's, fundamentally, it's a number.
Yeah.
And it's up to you what that number means within the context of your application.
Yeah.
You know, you can't display a million on there. You know, you're somewhat limited in terms of the range of numbers that you can present. But ultimately, it should be something that has context. You know, we're talking about books. So maybe you've downloaded three new books, and you haven't read them yet. Could be three books there. Maybe you've got a some sort of social book sharing capability.
Unread emails.
Unread emails. It's obviously a canonical example.
Yeah.
But again, you're free to use that in any way that makes sense within your application.
Like any other live tile, it's just your ability for your app to surface up information to either draw the user in or, honestly, to hold the user out. Sometimes there's no reason for the user to come in. You know, if you were if this was a line of business application where you're interacting with a workflow system, I might have a series of, let's say, invoices that I need to process. And so it says three because I have three invoices, but it might say zero because I don't have any invoices to process. I don't have to go into the app and check.
Absolutely.
That's nice.
So that's one type of piece of dynamic information we can inject into a tile, be it primary or secondary.
Yeah.
The other type is we can actually leverage the live aspect of the tile to push in
sliding
additional interesting content. You know, they can be images, they can be text, they can be actually very, very rich templates of information that are presented.
Because it can be an image, that does give you the opportunity at least to make anything you want. If you look at a template and the way they're laid out and you're like, it just doesn't suit my needs, just have image only and make it suit your needs.
Absolutely.
At the same time, don't forget the user needs to differentiate your app from all the other apps that they have on their start screen. Sometimes there can be so much of an image that I can't figure out which app it is, and I really wish I could see that. So don't obscure what your application is.
Yeah, don't forget about branding.
Don't forget about branding and usability.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, we talk about these the rich content and so on that can be shown in these live tiles, but we are actually limited to queuing up to five of those notifications. So we're not going to have a constant stream of different images that are constantly running through there.
Okay.
So that's an important thing to understand.
And when we do build the, if it's not just an image, but there's also text, we are constrained to a certain layout style, not just one.
We are. There are many, many of them, and effectively we have XML templates that are leveraged for these types of notifications, pretty much all of the notifications in actual fact. And as you say, you know, we use the Text01 template as the toast. You have image and text. You have image and text 3 for multiple lines of text.
And don't forget, every size has its own template, so it's quite a long list of templates.
It is. One thing to point out, however, is that the small tile does not support the that live templating.
You give it an image, and can you give it a number?
I think you're actually restricted. You can't do the numbers.
You're right. It is absolutely static.
Yeah. So that's the thing to bear in mind.
Let's stay on script. We're going to catch ourselves somehow.
Somehow. So the other thing is, what can drive those updates?
Mm-hmm. So your app is running. At any time, it can talk to its own tile, secondary, primary, whatever it was. But your app's not always running.
Yeah. I mean, we have the opportunity now with 8.1 to do a lot of the background tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually do background updates for our live tiles.
That's right, every periodically and not very much,
very long.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you can have a background task that periodically runs. Maybe it does fetch a little data or does something like that, and then writes directly to it. So that's two ways of using basically my app running on the device. What's another way?
We've just touched on one, which was the push notifications.
Oh yeah, that's a wonderful way. And you know what, that's probably how that's how weather works, right? Whenever severe weather, the icon changes dramatically, and it's pushing that from the server and updating its tile.
Absolutely.
I can schedule a tile to update, and I can schedule that update to be a notification that I set in advance, so I can queue them all up. Although they can't be all visible at one time, I can schedule a change, and I can also set up that tile so that it points off to a URL somewhere on a web server and pulls in an XML document from there. However, if I am going to pull in an image, it needs to be a local image.
Yeah.
And so that's the only caveat.
Absolutely. So moving on from the live tiles, we've already seen an example of toast notifications within the push capability. But you know, let's further explore the rich capabilities of the toast notifications.
Okay. Toast is at its heart transient, right?
Yes.
It comes and goes. In fact, earlier when you were showing the demo, you were kind of holding it so it wouldn't fade away because it's just there for a few seconds and then it goes away. There are some gestures that users can use to get rid of it. Obviously with a mouse,
swipe.
There's a little bitty X, right?
Exactly.
And with the touch, you can just swipe it right out of the way and it's gone. And it'll stack a few if you get a few at the same time. And as you move them away, the ones lower in the stack will actually move up so you can see them all. But as I demonstrated, the user can at any time disable notifications and toasts don't show up.
Yeah, don't consider them to be an essential aspect of your application workflow because that will lead to disappointment.
Yeah.
Because you know, by the transient nature, you know, they're only on screen for a couple of seconds. We don't have a notification center as yet that allows us to bring up all of the notifications that have been received over a particular period of time.
Right.
So you know, if somebody's looked away from the screen for the four seconds.
If I got up to pet my cat.
Yeah.
As an example.
As you do frequently.
I would come back and not know that I missed your notification.
Exactly. So, you know, don't consider those to be key and essential aspects.
Yeah. Just like tiles, they have a type of template.
They do, and those templates are XML-based.
They're similar to a tile, to be honest. I mean, they're even laid out almost
the same. Pretty much the same. I mean, effectively, it's a long, thin tile to a certain extent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And they share many of the same sources. Your application can create a local notification.
Yeah, that's right. Like, let's say you're doing something that requires some sort of processing, or you're waiting for an event to occur. It can doop, there it is right there. And as long as you don't mind the transient nature or the possibility of it not showing up because it's not too critical, that's a wonderful way of communicating with your user.
Background notifications. You know, we may have a timer set off in the background, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
That
it's probably the only way a background task. Well, it is the only way a background task can communicate immediately with, and a toast works like a secondary tile. I gotta sneeze. A toast works like a secondary tile. Once the user sees it, like we said, they can swipe it away.
Yeah.
But they can also tap on it, and as soon as they do,
deep link into your application.
That's right. It doesn't have to just run your app. It can deep link like a secondary tile does.
Yeah, and as we demonstrated before, push notifications are also a great source of these things. The caveat with push notifications is that there is no contract that guarantees your push notification will arrive.
Yeah.
You know, it certainly is highly likely that it's going to arrive, but there's no guarantee.
Now, a toast notification is special because it's a capability. It's not like just a feature that you use, like a setting or whatever. So if you write an application, use all of the code that we provide you, and you don't go into your app manifest and say, I am toast capable, then all of your code, as beautiful as it might be,
doesn't do anything and doesn't raise an error. And this is two people that are speaking with those scars. Because it's like, why on earth is this not working? It's because we didn't set up capability. Yeah,
that's
right. I guess the other thing that's kind of unique to these is including sound.
That's right. In fact, you can include custom sounds now.
Yes. Fortunately, they don't loop forever.
Yeah.
You can't set up an obnoxious toast that's sitting there going, ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da.
Right. It is a notification of something that may have just happened, but it doesn't have to be. It can be a notification of something that will happen. Please send me a toast notification in 20 minutes.
Yes.
And you can schedule it so it happens at that time as well.
Okay.
Nice.
So here's an example of a toast template.
Okay. Oh, it is just XML. I see.
Yep. And so, we have a particular toast here that's toast image and text 2.
That surfer girl has been on every toast and live tile demo since the preview of Windows 8.
Yeah.
She is probably a grandma by now. I mean, it's crazy.
It is insane, and she's referred to as Red.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. If you actually look at all of the images and the metadata associated with these tile demonstrations, she is Red.
I thought Red Image 1. It was blonde.
Red Image Big.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so hi, Red, wherever you are.
She's probably out of college by now.
Exactly.
That's so fun.
Exactly. And so
that's kind of an aside. I think we may have strayed. Sorry. That's my fault 100%.
Indeed. As usual.
I do see this one is called Toast Image and Text 02. So this is different than 01 and probably
03.
And a lot different than 03 probably too. Shut
exactly.
up, gosh. The one that you had was it just called Toast Text 01?
It was.
So
yeah.
Simple like that. That's
very
nice.
Simple.
That's really nice.
And so you can see in effect that what we're doing is changing the content of those elements. Which
is, by the way, I think from a technical point of view, when you're interacting with XML like that, you can do it as a string and just kind of sniff it out and put it together. You can use XElement. Do you use that, or how do you do it if you're creating this?
I typically use XElement, to be honest. Interact with those things, or XML element.
XElement usually, if you were looking it up in online docs, is usually referred to as linked to XML. And it's just an easy way to build XML. Certainly you can use an XML document to go through the DOM if you wanted as well. Just curious, wondered how you did it.
Yep.
I do know that the SDK provides a wrapper if you want to use their wrapper instead. You don't have to do it all by hand.
Exactly. And the sample that I think we're showing on the slide right now allows us to get the template content out for a particular toast type and to get elements by their tag name and bring in and manipulate those and set values and so on. So here you can see we're setting the source attribute for the image path that we wish to render up and so on and so forth. So it's pretty simple and straightforward.
Yeah,
not quite as simple as if it was actually a truly realized sort of managed object where we're setting properties and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I kind of wish it had strong types and stuff, but that's what that SDK does provide you, though. It makes it strong type. Even though it's just doing this behind the scenes.
It's just doing this behind the scenes. The reality is this gives us a lot of flexibility to be able to add a lot of additional templates down the line without creating significant object graph to do it.
That final line in this method really is important to notice. Mm-hmm. It's the toast notification manager.createToastNotifier.show.
Yep.
It's not asynchronous in this case because it's just fire and forget.
Yes.
There's no return value or anything like that. A toast just happens. You can't get any sort of receipt that it occurred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's walk through the sample app.
I think that's the right thing to do.
I believe so. That's a good job because we planned it. So what we have here is a very simple and straightforward application that has this highly complex UI that I think Jerry did in Blend.
They could have for Blend so we could do something
exactly.
like that. Your sample apps have a consistency to them that's pretty consistent.
It is. Yeah. I think that is the definition of consistent.
Yeah. I mean,
So what we have is an application. It is set up. It has a live tile. If I go and switch to the start screen, then here we have the highly complex and detailed live tile.
Wow, is that a green box? Not bad.
That is
a
green box. I actually think that's MVA green.
Oh yeah, like the thing behind us here.
It is.
That's nice.
It is. It's
okay.
Kind of amazing. So that's what we have there.
Wait, let me just make a point. You haven't done anything programmatically yet. This is right out of the install. You set this up in the manifest. This is the way it looks.
This is the way it looks. And as you can see, there is no content bouncing around on there.
You don't have any notifications.
Exactly.
That's right.
So now if I come back and have a look at the application, we have three primary functions that this application will do. Mm-hmm. First one is going to create a secondary tile.
So a new one will show up.
A new one will show up. So if we look at that in the designer, we come into here, we have add secondary tile. So what we can see, if I zoom in a little bit so it's easier to read, okay, is we have a lot of capabilities that we can tune relating to secondary tiles. So here we're giving it an ID, mm-hmm, view details. If we actually look at this method, we're passing in an ID and we're passing in some text. We're creating this particular ID, views details view, and we're leveraging that. We can leverage that as terms of activation information.
Oh, so this is an argument.
That is actually the ID, but we can filter and use it to actually find multiple secondary tiles of different types.
So this is not asking which secondary tile was tapped. This is asking what kind of secondary tile was tapped.
Exactly.
Okay.
Text here, this allows us to apply the text to the title.
Got it.
For the tile. This is an ID that we're placing in is actually the arguments that will be made available.
Okay, when so now it's not what type is it, which one specifically was
yeah
tapped.
So imagine that this was a secondary tile that was created for a book. Mm-hmm. This would be the book ID.
Yeah. So then I know how to navigate it.
Exactly.
Or where to navigate it to, excuse me.
And so by default, we can also supply the image to be used for a square 150 by 150.
Just like a primary tile, it needs to be a local image.
Exactly.
The way it works when it's offline.
So using the MS AppX syntax.
Okay.
And if we look in our assets folder, we can see we have a whole bunch of assets and images related to
Makes sense tiles. To me. That's nice. MS-AppX is our way of saying local to this project.
Yes.
Okay.
It's basically a package resource.
Right.
We've also specified that the default size for the secondary tile will be square 150 by 150.
Okay.
Okay, which kind of makes sense in as that's the size of the image we supplied as well. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be consistent.
Yeah, for a change.
Indeed. So now we also have the opportunity to specify additional visual elements. Now you may ask, why have we not used a property or a object initializer syntax for these things?
Darren, why haven't you used the object initializer syntax for these things?
And that is because these are properties of another property. And we actually can't use that syntax in an object initializer.
Okay, sure.
So this is why we have separate
This is
lines.
The way it used to be before .NET 4 anyway.
Exactly.
It's kind of like slumming it in C sharp.
Yeah, let's come back to how we were. It's the new old thing. So anyway, we can specify the full range of tiles. And again, it's not that difficult to create these images and so on for your tiles. Why limit what your user wants to do with these secondary tiles? You might as well create these assets and give them to them. You don't necessarily have to create a 70 by 70 logo. Okay. The system will actually interpolate from the 310 by 310.
Oh, is that right?
If you don't supply it. But again, you could have pixelation and so on and so forth right. If you've got text in there
I'm
and so on.
Control every pixel, that's
yeah,
right.
It's probably worthwhile creating it. And again, the 30 by 30, that could also come directly from your app,
okay,
your primary tile as well. So you don't have to specify it. You also then have a choice of whether you're going to show the name on the various tile sizes. So we've elected to show it on these three tiles, the wide, the square, and the medium square.
Okay.
We can also change how our text is prompted. So whether it's going to be light text or dark text, because
again,
you may thematically have a dark theme showing, but if you've got a very dark image as your tile,
like a star field
or whatever, then you're going to want to have light text. Mm-hmm. And so this gives us an opportunity to force that and override the default.
Mm. Otherwise, the user is going to see your tile and they're not going to know what they're about to click on. Oh, did you notice in 8.1 that you now have tooltips?
Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is,
that was
it is nice.
I was glad when they did that.
The other capability you have with the secondary tile is you can actually indicate whether that is surfaced and roamed as part of your profile so that you can elect to have the same applications available across all of your devices. And if you create secondary tiles and you specify it as being roamed, then you have the same books available in your cloud-based book library. Why wouldn't you roam your tile?
Well, that's nice.
So that's very useful. And then basically we sort of say, secondary tile, create async.
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
Now, create async, it's not, and you've got a secondary tile. There is a UI.
Exactly. And let's show that. So, what we have is the create secondary tile button. I click on this, And then up pops the UI.
Now, who created that UI?
That is created by the system.
Okay.
This is a nice example of a flyout
mm-hmm.
that
sure
the system is generating for us. We have the ability to use our own flyouts these in 8.1. We have these new flyout controls that are available to us that we can leverage. You'll notice that it's showing the 150 by 150. That's what I set as the default.
Mm.
But it isn't actually putting that, creating that for me. I can now move through these different variations, should I so wish. These are the other options that are available to me because I made these available.
So I'm about to create it. I know that it supports all of these. I can pick which one it's going to
yep.
do right now. You could say anything as far as the text. And again, the reason this happens this way is really in concern to the user to make
exactly.
sure that some stupid app isn't creating a million live tiles and they don't have
and
control.
And isn't putting something that they don't want to appear on their desktop.
That too.
Yeah.
Great done.
Yeah, you can change your text.
And I see you've picked the dark theme, so you have light text.
Mm-hmm.
Right thing, yeah. Very
yep.
nice.
So I'm going to pin to start. If I now flick over to my view, you can see all the way on the end, there's my tile.
Nice. Very nice.
If I click on this, brings up my application again.
Good job.
Good job, it worked.
Let me just say that when you click that and you want to be able to kind of sniff out what's mm-hmm. going on, it's the onActivated that is not raised, but it's an override in your app.xaml CS. That's where you want to go and determine which tile was clicked. You can determine whether or not it was your primary tile.
Yep.
And if it was your secondary tile, just like you said, you can read that initial string to see which type of tile. Maybe it was for a book, maybe it was for a review, maybe it was for who knows what. And then you can go read the argument that's associated to it and use that to navigate to the right location.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if we come back to the app itself. So now the other scenario when we're talking about the live tiles is, you know, we could get these notifications that would update the content.
Mm.
So if we look at the start, we can see
it's very static. It doesn't
very static.
Do anything.
It's boring. Mm-hmm. It's not particularly
the logo's nice.
It is. I mean, I particularly like the name.
That is.
Yeah. There's actually a 3D green image on a green image there.
We spent $1 million for that image. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
You should see it from the side.
Yeah. It's even more awesome. So anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to initiate an update. So if I click on this.
Okay.
Nothing seems to happen.
No, he didn't get a pop-up.
But now.
Now
I have some interactivity. So I've got an image that's come up.
So what you passed to that for that blue one there, that was a simple image template?
Yep, we'll go and have a look at that in a minute. But what we actually have is an image and text.
Okay.
Image so we actually text. Have two aspects coming up on this tile.
So you've laid out quite a few. You added two notifications, basically.
It's a single notification, but a template that's an image and a text.
Oh, I got it. Okay. And now what's that little green box?
That little green box is our app icon.
Mm.
So this is now the small, or the tiny, I should say, in actual fact, it's the 30 by 30
yeah.
Asset that we provided and made available for our application.
Great. So even though you may have a full-size image that makes it so you can't tell what this is for, that is always maintained
that's
to give
maintained.
A context
so
for the user.
You're now branding your app because, again, as you mentioned before, it's easy to lose your identity if you're suddenly showing, say this is a newsreel app,
okay,
and now it's showing some image that's related to the current news. You might forget that position is where you put your news app. Now
right.
all of a sudden it's showing some explosion or whatever. And
you don't
what's
know
your context?
Why.
Yeah.
I understand. That's great.
So let's have a look at the app itself. So we come back to main page, update primary tiles. We have update click. We come into update click. So now what we're doing is, I can stop this, get a bit more real estate.
Okay.
So here we're saying update the medium tile. So I'm specifying what image I wish to show.
It is that easy.
And
one
the text.
Line.
I wish it were.
We already showed it in a slide. We know it's
But fundamentally, this is the same text. You know, we're specifying our what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So this is tile square, 150 by 150, peak image and text 01. So these are going to peak up the image,
oh,
and then
peak
it's going to peak up the text.
It slides up and down
exactly.
so you can look at them.
Exactly. And there is a wide variety. Let me bring up IntelliSense of different templates that are available for us to leverage.
Nice.
Wow. Lots and lots.
This is probably one of those things that is worth going to MSDN to look at the visual
exactly.
catalog of them rather than
exactly.
try them all.
Yeah, MSDN actually does a really good job of providing a list of these and then drilling in and giving examples, showing you the XML and so on of this capability.
Such a good job that I'd almost like to hire that person to do other aspects of MSDN.
Yes, yes, indeed. So the final part is to actually generate a toast from within the application itself.
Okay. So the process is really close to the same because, you, as you said, the template looks kind of like a tile template.
Yeah. So if I click on Show Toast, up pops a toast. Yeah.
Even has the little green baby size.
Even has the little green baby size. We have our image. We have two lines of text here as opposed to one line of text.
Yeah, that's nice.
And as you say,
you could really deliver a lot of information. That's neat. You know what? Let's run this again. Let's have you turn off notifications, and let's see the error that's raised.
Okay.
Right, so easy enough to turn off. You're right there. So in settings, right? So swipe to. You're going to do it from here.
I was going to turn off all notification settings.
Oh, power. So now, unlike what I demonstrated, where I turned it off for 8 hours, you will never be bothered by a notification again.
Yeah. Hooray for silence. Nada. Nothing.
No error. And that's because when you say dot show, it hands it off to the operating system, and you never get any feedback from it.
Absolutely.
It's the way it's intended to be. But heavens, if that was an important thing, like you just got who knows what it could be, but if it was important for your application and no other way to get the information, then the user is really at a disservice. No doubt.
But again, the power is in the user's hands.
Yeah, it has to be that way.
Yep.
Has to be, because I'm the user when it's my device, and I want to be in charge.
So you also want to do the settings, permissions?
Ah, yeah. So now, that is not a global switch for all applications. This is saying, this app, I don't trust it anymore because it's abusing its notification privileges.
Yep.
Now I can go in and say,
and it's highly likely because it says it's by Jerry.
Yeah, so the odds are low. It's probably fine.
No toast.
No toast and no error.
Indeed.
All right, so let's kind of look back at this module. It was a pretty big one. Remember, we went back to Azure and used Azure Mobile Services to create a push notification that routed through Windows Notification Services, WNS, so that you could send from a web service all the way through to a device that had established a channel. If your device and app don't establish that channel, there's no way for that communication to happen.
Absolutely.
So you establish the channel, hand it off to your web service so it can use it. It doesn't have to be through mobile services. You can create your own custom service, do the exact same thing. This is just meant to make it nice and simple for you, but mobile services is very powerful. Then we talked about live tiles, both live tiles for primary and for secondary use, the way that you can push content to it, the way you can template it very nicely so it's really pretty and beautiful, the different sizes, as well as stacking up notifications so it is live and cycling through. And finally, we talked about this toast notification, another way you could be communicated to from your app in the foreground, your app in the background from your service that's out there using notification services as well, so that all these ways for have it. But it is a kind of at-risk way of transient communication that the user could turn that off. So just make it an added bonus for your app rather than something that's absolutely required. So these are all very specific to Windows 8. So earlier we were like, well, how much of this might apply back to WPF? Lots of it would. How much of this would apply to WPF? None of it would. There is no such thing as a live tile for a desktop application. They don't use push notifications in the same way, and they certainly don't have toast notifications working the same way. That doesn't mean it can't be done.
Yep.
But this is specifically here as tooling for a store application. And here we are in Essentials for Store Application Development. This is very essential, if you ask me, to really leverage all the aspects of the platform. And this is the win as one, and be able to win as one.
Absolutely. So we'll be back after a 10-minute break, where we will start talking about architecture.
I'm looking forward to this. This will be good.
Yeah.
A lot of good discussion.
Yeah. We need lounge chairs. We need a pipe.
It's going to be good. See you in 10 minutes.